الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهده ونستغفره واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beginning the khutbah to Juma today, praising Allah and thanking Allah. And we use the word Allah because this is the word that Allah uses in the Quran. If you talk to Christian Arabs, they will use the word Allah in the Bible translated in Arabic. So we thank Allah for so many blessings we cannot count them. Allah having sent to us over the millennia guides, prophets, messengers, sending us all a common message from Allah through many messengers. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for all of the messengers, ending with the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I want us to begin today with just a very short reflection, and I ask for your prayers for those people who lost their lives on the recent Egyptian airline accident. Wallahi, most of us think that we have a lot of time to live. We have loved ones who are traveling and doing things. My daughter was saying to herself, and then I mentioned it, and she said, well, Dad, I'm worried because I was in Egypt not too long ago. And we have many friends who fly a lot. But alhamdulillah, we know that everything is in the hand of Allah. To try to live our lives in a way that if today is our last day, if this hour is our last hour, that if Allah calls us back, that we will be ready for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we ask Allah's mercy and peace on all those who are following Allah's path, that Allah would have mercy on them and grant them Jannah. Ameen. There's something very interesting, alhamdulillah, about Allah's mercy. We say in Al-Fatiha, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The capacity to have mercy and to be the source of all mercy is a characteristic that belongs to God alone. And in it, the Prophet ﷺ gave us some insights, saying that although human beings do things, make mistakes, put themselves in conditions where they're not at their best, that Allah forgives from one salah, one prayer to the next prayer, from one Jumu'ah, this hour that we're praying in, to the next Jumu'ah. From one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, and from the beginning of our lives until the time when we make the pilgrimage, alhamdulillah, the pilgrimage to the house established by Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son in the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These periods of forgiveness. Why? Because Allah is so merciful that we as people, we get out of shape. We get, like everything in the universe, it breaks down. If you have something, it gets rusty. If you have a metal, it gets, most of them, they will get rusty. If you have something which is new, after a time it becomes old. If you have a computer, after a while you have to go through and clean out some of the junk. Maybe virus got inside of the computer, malware. So every now and then you have to take your car in for maintenance. The maintenance, the small maintenance from one salah to the next, the maintenance for our souls from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. We are about to enter that period. It is an opportunity for us to take over, to make over. It is an opportunity for us to take our lives over and to make our lives over by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say this, let's begin with three things, bi'idhnillah, to let us understand something about who we are and how we should function. The Quran is for us the ultimate authority. And Allah describes to us in the Quran something about the human being, saying to us that we were created أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. The human being was created in the best mold, the best shape. As a Muslim, we believe, alhamdulillah, every person is born free without any sin. Human beings are born with an inclination toward good. We were created, أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ, in the best mold, one. The second, Allah reminds us in the Quran that those who believe in Allah, they have amen for Allah, they have a connection with Allah, and they have a connection with the Prophet, that they have already achieved the great success. So alhamdulillah, those who say, I understand who Allah is, what Allah is, and I understand the example that I should be living in, I have it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'm already successful. Maybe I'm not, I don't make the most money, but alhamdulillah, I'm successful. Maybe I make a lot of money, but if I'm not following what Allah wants me to do, my Creator, and I'm not living an exemplary life, I'm a failure. I'm just a failure with a lot of money. I'm not going to mention any names. So the second, whoever believes in Allah and His Messenger have already achieved the great success. Third, Allah describes to us in the person of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet Muhammad, you have the best example of human conduct, character, husnul huluq. We have the best manners. Now let's think about this for a minute. Human being is created in this excellent mode, and then you have a method that you can follow. In theory, Quran, you read it, and then you have the walking Quran, as Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet Muhammad, he was walking Quran. Then you have, Allah says it, you have in him an excellent example. If this is the case, and it has to be the case, then what is wrong with us? Something must be wrong with us. And I'm not going to beat up on you too badly. But one man, he said, if you look in the parts of the world where Muslims are the majority, he said, there must be something wrong. Why don't we have the advancements that we see in other parts of the world? Nigeria is the largest Muslim country by population in Africa. Why don't they make cars? Why don't they make airplanes and computers? If in fact this is true, there is something that we're not doing. Now, alhamdulillah, we have the best example, we have the best book. They found the British museum where most of the things from the Asia and Africa, the best things are there. You can go there and find them. What's happening to us? Somebody said, well, first, we have the element of shaitan. And shaitan has said that the human being is inferior. Shaitan says, I'm better than him. He's made from mud. And me, I'm made from fire. So I'm better than him. And Allah describes that, yeah, the human being has problems. The human being has free will. They can either be the khair al-bariyah, they can be the best people, or they can be the shar al-bariyah. They can be worse than the jackal. Worst. It depends on whether or not they will take over their urges, their lower nature, and follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they would do that, everything would be added to them. People who are righteous, who are upright, everything would be added to them if they would just get in line with the guidance from Allah. Allah informed Shaitan, Satan, that I will allow you until the day of judgment to do whatever you want to do, to misguide human beings, and then at the end we'll see. And the reality is Allah is saying you'll see that the human being is created ahsani taqwim. He really is created in the best mold. That the human being really is going to be ultimately successful in establishing peace and justice and order and mercy. You're going to see it, and alhamdulillah, you're going to see them in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of his kindness and his mercy and his care and his justice, you're going to see it, alhamdulillah. And even you and I, with all of our shortcomings, even the respite that we've been given is so that we have the opportunity to remake ourselves. We have the opportunity. Our challenge today is to seize the opportunity to take over our lives again from shaitan, from the other influences, and to make ourselves over into people who walk in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma firli wa rahmdi wa deen. Oh, pass me this, brother. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salam wa rasooli kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Maybe I can make it a little clearer for you. I accepted Islam as an American maybe 25 years ago. I was a young man then. And when I accepted Islam, subhanAllah, I accepted Islam because Islam was so much like the values that I had been told about as a young person, but I didn't see people doing it. When I met Muslims, subhanAllah, and they told me about Islam, they told me, subhanAllah, if you want to be a Muslim, you have to believe in Allah. You can't worship anything else except Allah. You can't worship your race. You can't worship your status. You can't worship your national origin. You can't say, well, you know, because I'm educated, I'm better. I said, no, if I am a Muslim, I have to be, alhamdulillah, the best example of human conduct because I'm the representative of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People like Malcolm X, who yesterday would have been his 91st birthday, people like Malcolm X taught us then to say a Muslim is excellent, a Muslim is pure, a Muslim is hardworking, they are honest, they are trustworthy. The Muslim word is his bond. That a Muslim, alhamdulillah, doesn't take revenge. A Muslim has sincerity in all of their dealings. So I accepted Islam. And the people that I met, they were Muslims like that. One of my students who took Shahada with us years later, he now is a successful businessman. And I said to him, you know, brother, you are an exemplar of the way that a Muslim should operate, not only in their private life, but in their public life as a businessman. And I said, it's important, subhanAllah, that you do business, not only with the wider society, but that you do business with other Muslims to help. Because as a Muslim, you provide a level of excellence and sincerity and transparency, and subhanAllah. So the other day he called me, he said, Imam, I put a bid for a contract for building a masjid. I'm a construction build and design company, and I put a bid for the masjid, and my bid, I bid low because I want, as a Muslim, to be part of building something for Islam. He said, when I met with the board of the masjid, I said, subhanAllah, I'm so happy as a Muslim I'm here, and alhamdulillah, and mashallah, this is going to be a great project. He said, Imam, I was perplexed. He said, the members of the board said, brother, cut all that Islamic stuff. Mashallah, we didn't come for that. All we want is the person who's going to deliver the job, the cheapest price. He said, well, my bid is low. He said, yeah, man, but cut the mashallah stuff. All the brother, all Islamic brother stuff. He said, Sheikh, I was doing what you people taught me to do. SubhanAllah, I'm a Muslim. And I'm doing Muslim with my brother. And we're there, I wanted to express my love for Allah and His Messenger and to work with each other. I said, you know, I forgot to teach you something. And that is that for many Muslims, Muslim means inferior. If you want a doctor, don't get a Muslim doctor, Imad. go get another doctor, because he's a Muslim. I want a good doctor. If you get your car fixed, I don't want the Muslim mechanic, man, because he's the IBM mechanic. Inshallah, bukra, ma'alesh. That's the mentality. I said, brother, there are many Muslims who they believe that Muslim means unprofessional. Muslim means he's going to show up late. That your product won't be quality. He said, but I don't understand. I said, yeah, I know, brother. I said, let me give you an example. I said, son, I was visiting a country, Muslim majority country. I'm not going to mention the name. Majority Muslim country. Adhan 5 times a day. Going to the marketplace, and one of the local brothers, he said to me, brother, be careful when you go to the market. I said, why? He said, because somebody might try to cheat you. I said, cheat me? This is a Muslim country, brother. He said, brother, when you go to the market, if the man says, wallahi, know that he's lying. I said, astaghfirullah. He said, brother, I'm just warning you. I said, this is the state of Islam in this country. Subhanallah, in America, when I meet a Muslim, Muslim means subhanallah, he is going to safeguard my interest even against his own. That if they're a Muslim doctor, you know, 1 out of 10 doctors they claim in America is a Muslim. Do you know those doctors, they put in more work, more hours? The Muslim university professor who's really a Muslim, they deliver more because they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. I said, so son, the problem is that some of us have an identity problem that needs to be made over. I said, have you ever been to the zoo? You see, when you go to the zoo, you can see a lion, and you can see the tiger, and you see the elephant. Except that there's something wrong with them. They were created in the best mold by Allah. And they have their natural characteristics, but something happened to them. They are suffering from the effects of captivity. Many of us, we're suffering from different kinds of post-traumatic colonialism stress disorder. That we have forgotten who we really are. If the real lion, if you met the real lion, not the one in the zoo, and you get near him, if he yawns, you'll lose your wudu. If you go in the zoo, you see the real elephant. He can't be kept inside the little pen. He's been conditioned since he was a small child to think that he can't break out of the zoo. Many of us, we need a makeover. Because we have been confined by the training that we have received to think that we're inferior. And so I'm saying to you now, bi-idhnillah, in this month of Ramadan which is coming, use Ramadan to take over your lives and to make them over. Every night reciting the Quran, every day fasting, and realize that the zookeeper is not your master, that Allah is your master. That your employer isn't the one who's controlling you, your paycheck. Allah controls your paycheck. To put yourself, alhamdulillah, in makeover mode. To say that I was created, ahsani taqweem, I'm in the best mold. And I have the best example in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't care what these people say on television. I know who I am. And I'm going to use Ramadan to get myself back together again. That bi'idhnillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make me over. That my iman will, alhamdulillah, will increase in a way that will cause people, when they see me, to ask the question, what kind of person are you? Because wallahi, we had never seen a person that upright before in our lives. This is my bi'idhnillah request of you, to prepare yourself for Ramadan in a way that you will seize the opportunity to make yourself over. We are reminded in the Quran that the month of Ramadan, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That makeover is your taqwa. Allahumma adina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt. O Allah, guide us among those whom you have guided. O Allah, keep us in the path of those whom you have taken as a friend, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. O Allah, we ask that you protect us, walhamdulillah. O Allah, have mercy on us and our families. O Allah, help us to make ourselves over, Ya Allah. O Allah, that we might walk in the example of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O Allah, we ask that you remove the fear in our hearts, walhamdulillah, of anything except displeasing you. O Allah, we ask, walhamdulillah, that you open our hearts to love and mercy, Ya Allah. Love and mercy between the husbands and the wives. Ya Allah, love between the parents and their children. O Allah, cure us, those who are suffering with diseases, Ya Allah. O Allah, who are suffering with the loss of loved ones and wealth, Ya Allah. Help us, walhamdulillah, that you return it to us with something better, Ya Allah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِينَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ خِنَّ جَنَّةَ مَا أَبْرَارِ يَا عَزِيزِ يَا غَفَارِ يَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ الصلاة والسلام على رسوله كريم. آمين. أقم صلاة.